Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode. This episode is a solo episode. I don't know why I keep saying that every single time I do a solo or a guest. It's like, Ellen, we understand. We see the title. There is obviously no one else there. If you follow me on social media, you know that I wouldn't say I copped some hate, but I did get a few messages when I was calling people out for being shit coaches. Majority, obviously, coaches who felt very targeted from my story, where I basically said that the nutrition coach is not a binge eating coach. And just because you have a degree in nutrition doesn't mean that you are qualified in food psychology. I even have a dietitian that works with me, and she refers her binge eating clients to me because she's like, we didn't learn anything about food psychology with this degree. I learned everything about how to set up the best nutrition plan, you know, gut health, all that stuff. But she's like, we didn't address that at all. And the crazy thing is that when I did my nutrition certificate, I remember it said in the nutrition certificate, if you ever come across clients who have disordered eating patterns or eating disorders, you should always refer them to a dietitian. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, they don't even have the proper tools to help these people. And then it also said, or refer them to a GP. And I'm like, a GP knows fuck all about mental health or about nutrition. Like, I'm sure, like, some of the doctors I've had have been the most unsympathetic people in the whole freaking world. Like, they, you know, doctors are very known for that. So the only person I would trust is a psychologist. And even them, like, I know a psychologist, my friend Mind Food Steph, she's like, even in psychology, they don't address the food, like the food psychology. Like, you literally have to add that on as an extra thing. So, like, for example, CBT that I'm qualified in is something that is extremely common and something that they use in like a psychology degree that would be included, where they do talk more about the food side of things. And you can, in a psychology degree, you can even add in to focus extra on eating disorders. But like, the general knowledge that they get from most psychology degrees that aren't focused on eating disorders, that's very, very limited. And yeah, that's absolutely insane. So this episode, as you can tell by the name, is going to be about how to spot a shitty coach, because it honestly does my head in. Like, it makes me so mad and sad that these people are out there giving you advice when they are basically struggling with disordered eating themselves. So I don't even know how many points I'm gonna get to with this episode, because I feel like there's so many, but I'm just gonna go with the flow and yeah, see where it leads. But it's not gonna be more than 30 minutes, because that's the limit when you record like this, like I am. But the first one that I wanted to really look out for is, look at their eating habits. Like, are they someone who is religious with their tracking? Like, what do they eat when they go on a holiday? Like, I met a coach over here who's a bodybuilder, and she was like in off season or whatever, like she wasn't tracking at the time. Or actually, I think she was still tracking, but she just didn't, like, I guess she was, like, she had a bit more flexibility because she wasn't competing anytime soon. So, you know, I would see her in the mornings and she would eat, like, her egg whites, and she refused to have, like, pineapple in her juice or eat egg yolks or butter. But then she would buy, like, all of these pastries and, you know, inhale them. But then she couldn't eat the egg yolk. And it was like, no, I can't eat egg yolks. Like, you're going to have to remake it, like, at cafes. I was like, hang on. So you can eat like 3 pastries in one sitting, but you can't eat the egg yolk in the egg? Like, how does that make sense? How is it too much fat to eat the, whatever, 7 grams of fat or whatever it is in an egg yolk, or I think it's 12 maybe. Anyway, how is that too much fat? But you can literally, you can eat 3 croissants in like 2 minutes. Like, I have never, like, I remember she sat down next to me and she bought all this food and she literally inhaled it. Like, I have never seen anyone eat that fast in my life. And for me, who obviously work in this industry, I was like, oh, alarm bells are going off. Because you know me, you know that I'm all about the almond croissants, I'm all about the pastries, I'm all about, you know, treating yourself and eating foods that you love, and food not just for fuel, but also for nourishment, also for enjoyment and pleasure. But when you're just inhaling foods like that, like she did, like, I don't even know if she chewed, like, that's a huge red flag when you're just inhaling that food. And anyone who struggled with an eating disorder will know how this feels like. It's like, you just, like, especially with binge eating, it's like, you're like, oh, I'm just going to have this. And then all of a sudden you've eaten 4 of them and you didn't even really recognize what they tasted like. And I think a really, really common thing that people struggle with is, like, I used to do this, for example, when I was working at a cafe and I was struggling with binge eating, I'd be like, I'm just going to have a little, like, one tiny bit. And then I would have one tiny bit of, like, 20 different things. Like, I would pick one thing up, have a bit, and, like, quickly put it back. And then one thing up, have one bite, quickly put it back. Or, like, I would throw it in the bin, like, the rest in the bin, so that I wouldn't go and grab it. Even though sometimes I did grab it out of the bin, because that's just how fucked up I was and how much my binge eating was controlling my life, that I didn't care that it was in the bin. But I would throw it in the bin because I'd be like, okay, I've had one bite and that's it, and I throw it in the bin so that I don't eat it. Like, sometimes I would literally throw it in the bin and have to pour, like, the old coffee grind on the cookies or whatever it was, just to make sure that I wouldn't go in there and eat it. Like, that's insane, isn't it? But that's a huge red flag. Like, if someone is eating sweets and, like, high calorie foods really, really fast, it's usually to try so that they don't have to feel the guilt, because once they stop, they'll feel how guilty they feel, and they start getting those really, really intense feelings of, you know, why did I do this, and, like, shame, and, oh my god, I failed, and I shouldn't have had this. And it's so, so much to cope with, that it's just easier to just scuff things down and then just kind of stay in that fight or flight mode where you don't have to address the actual reasons why you're using food as a way of self-soothing yourself. Because it's never really about the food. Which leads me to point number 2, and that is coaches who are nutrition or PTs coaches that think that they can cure someone's binge eating. First of all, if someone says, I'm going to cure your binge eating, that's, you know, that's not, yeah, that's just not... That's a red flag. But people who say things like there was a post that I saw that I called out, and she actually deleted my comment because I was like, this might work for someone who's overeating, but it's not going to work for a binge eater. Because basically in her post, she had said that she helped people stop binge eating by incorporating Biscoff every single day and then get it all cozy and, like, just really enjoy it. And, like, yeah, that will probably work for someone who just overeats, and if they can allow that to have it every day and kind of remove that excitement and temptation around that food. But if you're someone who binge eats and you give your someone the trigger foods and you just kind of put them everywhere and it's like, here you go, you're allowed it, what that is going to do for a binge eater is it's going to trigger that, oh my gosh, I just had Biscoff. Oh my god, I feel so bad right now. Oh my god, I need to eat now until I am so full that I'm going to pass out. Like, that's, for me, if I would have just said, oh, I'm just going to eat, you know, binge, like, my tree of foods, like Biscoff or Nutella, whatever. I'm just going to have a jar of Nutella in the cupboard for every single day, and that's going to help me cure my binge eating. Like, that never would have worked. I would have just eaten a whole jar of Nutella plus more every single day. Like, that's just not how it works. When you want to cure binge eating, son, I use it now just because I had it in my mind. When you want to overcome binge eating and heal from it, you need to, yes, it is important to start introducing your trigger foods. You know, this is called food exposure therapy, that you're exposing yourself to those foods that are scary for you, that do trigger you binge eating, that triggers that mindset of, oh my god, I feel so guilty and I'm just going to scuff it down as quickly as I can. We need to expose that, yes, but what we also need to do is we need to understand, why do you feel so guilty around these foods? Where is this coming from? What in your childhood made you think like this? Why do you think that you need to eat the whole thing once you've started? Why is that autopilot taking over once you start eating that food? you know, where is this actually coming from? What is the underlying reason that you are binge eating? Like, what, why are you feeling the need to numb yourself with binge eating? Like, by binge eating, why do you feel the need to avoid certain feelings? Why do you feel the need to eat? Like, is this to make up for some kind of connection that you've lost? Is this to make up for some kind of control that you feel like you've lost in your life? Is this because you've suppressed anxiety? Is this because you've suppressed people policing, and now you're binge eating because you can't control everything else? Or you're trying to control everything else in your life, so this is kind of your only outlet when you're not in 100% control. Like, can you see how it's so much more than just about the food? It's very, very little about the food. Like, binge eating is an addiction, and it's not something that can be cured. I use this all the time now. It's not something that can be overcome by just focusing on the food. Because if you give a binge eater as much food as they possibly want, they will just eat until they get to the numbness feeling, and then they will, you know, even if it is just, you know, 4 chocolate eggs, if that starts the binge, then they might start binging on freaking just bread or pasta with no flavor. Like, it doesn't matter, because it's not about the food. If you listen to my episodes before, you know that when I was at my peak, I used to just binge on dry pasta out of the packet. Like, I didn't care what food it was. So just like having that food around and eating a little bit of chocolate every day, it wouldn't have worked for me. Like, I had to go into the underlying reasons of why I started binge eating in the first place and heal my nervous system and help, like, understand what other tools that I could use to self-soothe and how I could allow my uncomfortable emotions and my traumas to come to the surface and actually heal them. So, another point, where are we now? Number 3 is that if someone is guilting you, like, for example, this episode comes out after Easter, and if your coach is like, okay, you need to make up for what you ate on the weekend, you need to train more, you need to cut back your calories, like calorie cycling, for example, or calorie banking. I used to do this when I was coaching, but I made sure that my clients did not display any kind of disordered eating. Because if you're already displaying disordered eating behaviors, calorie cycling is going to make it so much worse for you. Like, I tricked myself into thinking that I could do this, and I would eat very, very little during the week, and then on the weekends I'd be like, well, I have, you know, 2500 calories to eat, so I'm just gonna eat this and this, and then that would just lead me to binge all weekend, and then the next week I would restrict even further. And this is what tends to happen. And so if your coach is like, okay, well, now you need to make up for what you ate on the weekend by dropping your calories this X amount, or adding in extra exercise, or maybe both, that's a huge, huge red flag. Another red flag is that they're only focused on the scale weight. Like, if your coach is only celebrating your wins on the scale, then that's not a bad, good coach. That's a coach who is encouraging you to look at the scales and think that that's the only way that you can be good enough, by the scales going, like, reducing. That if your scale weight goes up, that means that you've done a bad job and that you're not as worthy as when the scale goes down. Like, a good coach would focus on all the other wins in your week. The scale would just be like the cherry on top. But the other stuff that you're going through should be the main points of the check-ins. It should be more about, you know, how you feeling this week? Do you have energy? Have you slept better? How are your training sessions going? Do you recover better? Like, have you felt satisfied with your meals? Have you enjoyed your meals? Have you felt hungry? Like, how have you combated your stress in your week? That should be what your check-ins are about. Which leads me on to next point. If your coach is not checking in with you every week, you have an ebook. That's not a coach. Because a coach is someone that is meant to keep you accountable. And yeah, sure, I get that you might not want to check in every week, but it should at least be a message asking, how are you going? Can I help you this week? Yeah, some people do check-ins every fortnight, and some people don't need more than that, sure. But your coach should still reach out to you and ask if they can help you with anything that week. Because as we all know, when you sign up to coaching. And if you are someone who struggles with binge eating or overeating, or, you know, you might have just have like a bad relationship to food, it's very, very easy to get stuck in that victim mentality of no one's going to help me, no one's going to understand me, I'm just going to keep secret, I'm just going to keep quiet until my coach reaches out to me, and I'm not going to say anything. And then you might start thinking, oh, I'm going to be a burden, like I don't want to message them, like I'll just wait for them to message me. And, you know, now, and then it just, it goes further, and then you might eat more food, and then you might skip more workouts, and you might gain more weight. And then you might start thinking that, oh my god, I'm not good enough, like I'm the worst client ever, if I message them I'm gonna annoy them. Like, you should never feel like that as a client, ever. So if your coach isn't checking in with you every week, like, that's an ebook. And the other thing with this is, which I see so incredibly much, especially here in Bali, where everyone is about scaling your business, is that everyone gets the same freaking meal plan and the same freaking training plan. That's not okay. Like, training plan, yeah, sure, I can buy that, because most people can get away with training very, very similar, unless you have, you know, certain injuries. Like, for example, at the moment, I have, like, arthritis in my left knee, so I can't do loads of things. But most people can get away with doing the same workouts. Like, that's not a huge thing. But if they give you the same nutrition plan as everyone else, like, that is a huge, like, why, what the fuck are you paying for? Like, then you might as well just buy an ebook with recipes and just eat that. And you'll save yourself so much money. And you can actually spend that money on working on the reason why you feel like you need to lose weight in the first place, or the reason why you're overweight, or the reason why you're not happy with yourself. You know, when you're paying for something, you need to make sure that you're getting value from it. You need to make sure that you are actually getting what you're paying for. And I don't care if you're only paying $20 or if you're paying $100. Like, that should be the minimum requirement. Like, checking in and asking how you're going. I really don't understand coaches who don't do this. And it doesn't matter how cheap their program is. Like, I just... yeah, it just doesn't sit right with me at all. Unless you are selling it as a group fitness thing. But if you're selling it as individual programming and you're still not doing it, that's fucked. But if you're selling it as a group fitness challenge, then yeah, sure. You know that when you sign up, that you're signing up to a group and you're going to get the group treatment. That's fair enough. I get that. But if you're selling it as an individual thing, then yeah, you should also get individual treatment. But then I guess you also have to look into the price here. Like, if you are buying a program that is $20, $29, $30 a week, then, like, you get what you pay for, right? Like, there's a reason why it's so cheap. And it's going to be either because there's not enough value in the program. So it's not enough, you know, personalization. There's not enough education in there. There's not enough whatever. And also, there's not going to be enough time with the coach, because if a coach is charging as low as, you know, $20, $30 a week, they probably have 100 clients on their roster. And, like, that's what they would basically need to, okay, maybe not, they wouldn't need 100 clients to pay their bills. I mean, everyone has different bills. But they would need a large amount of clients to be able to make money, to be able to pay bills. And, you know, people think that online coaching is so cheap as a business. And yeah, sure, like, it's a lot cheaper than a lot of other jobs, but we still have to pay subscriptions. We still have to pay for Zoom. We still have to pay for Canva. We still have to pay for, you know, we still have to pay our tax and our GST. We still have to pay, you know, all of these extra things, accounting, marketing. Like, there's so many things that people don't think about when it comes to it. And yeah, like, if you are only paying $20 a week, then you're not going to get the same quality of service as if you're paying like $100 a week, for example. Like, when you are looking at someone's price point, you need to really take that into account, that you're paying for a service, like a time and a value, time and value with someone's service. And if you're only paying that little, then it's probably going to take you 3 to 4 times as long to get the results that you want, versus if you're paying something like $100 a week, where you would get so much more time with your coach, and you also have so much more value in the program, because you are paying you're at a higher price point, you're probably going to put in more effort because you are paying more, therefore you're going to get better results. So you have more accountability, you work harder, there's more education, of course your results are going to fast track. So, like, look at it kind of like, you either spend a year with someone who is only $20 a week, or you spend like 3 months with someone who is $100 a week. Like, I know what I would pick. Like, I'm very impatient. I would always go for the more expensive but higher, more result, high, more expensive but higher, like, rate of, like, higher return. Is that how you say it? Because the bigger investment, the bigger the return you're gonna get. Low investment equals low, like, shitty results. That's just how life works. And so, what else did I want to say about this? Like, guilting, I think, is a huge one that people, like, it's insane how often I hear, like, people come into my DMs and they say things about, like, yeah, my coach made me, like, feel so guilty about this, and I didn't even want to tell him or her that I ate chocolate on the weekend because I knew that they would make me feel so guilty. Like, if you're a coach and you listen to this and you do this, like, honey, you do not need to tell your clients that they should feel guilty. They're probably already beating themselves up as it is. Like, you do not also need to jump on there and beat them even more. This is your job to be able to shift that mindset to allow space for the guilt and not make it wrong, but then also show them how they can start moving forward. Because, you know, this is another thing, but I guess this is kind of like a bit over the pay grade of a normal nutrition coach. They wouldn't really know how to have this conversation, because in a nutrition degree, you don't do psychology, like, you don't do any therapy kind of stuff. Guys, I actually saw a nutrition degree online yesterday that was 3 days. 3 days! And someone can become qualified. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, with, like, guilt and feeling sad or feeling lonely, feeling, you know, whatever it is, like, a lot of people will try and tell you here that, oh, don't feel sad, don't feel guilty, don't feel angry, don't think about it, just move on. Like, this is just bypassing. This is bypassing what's actually going on and not addressing the issue. So in order to overcome these things and actually heal, you need to allow yourself space to feel, you know, the phrase, you gotta feel it to heal it. Feel it, understand it, and then what can you do to move forward whilst still allowing space for that feeling? Anyway, this is for a completely different episode because, yeah, that is just so much deeper and I only have 8 minutes left, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. If that's something that you're interested in, then you're more than welcome to message me and we can have a chat about how I work with clients through this. But this is meant to be about how bad coaches are handling their clients and not about how to heal that inner child. So, and I actually asked in my DMs the other day about if people could message me their coaching horror stories. And oh my gosh, there's one girl who I've talked to before, and she said that her coach, he had a client who got diagnosed with cancer and he refused to let her go. Like, he was like, no, you signed up for a 12-week program or 10 or 8 weeks or however long it was. I can't pause your membership. I can't cancel it. And she's like, dude, I literally have been diagnosed with cancer. Like, I'm going to have to pay, like, put all my money to medical bills. I'm not going to go to the gym because I'm in chemo. I'm probably not going to be able to eat because I'd be sick all the time. And you still want me to pay you? And he was just like, yeah, doesn't matter. Like, you still have to pay. And I was like, what the actual fuck? Like, that is fucked. Another story that came in was about a girl who had, I can't remember exactly, but she had done some kind of, I think it was marathon running maybe, or some kind of like prep for some kind of competition. And her coach, like, just kept dropping her calories. And at the end, she was on 840 calories per day. Like, I probably eat that for breakfast. Like, that is so fucking crazy. Which leads to another, I guess, probably the last point here. Putting your calories too low. Like, girls, if you are a human like you are, you need at least 1,300 calories just to survive. These 1,200 calorie diets that have come from somewhere, what the fuck? I have no idea where they came from, but they're fucked up. Like, who decided that 1,200 calories was a magic number to lose weight? Actually, I had a client the other day who said her naturopaths put her on 500 calories a day. Like, how fucked up is that? This is crazy. Like, 1,300 calories, give or take, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. There's no exact number that's like, correct for everyone. But around there, that's literally how much you need to be in a coma. like to just lay there, to not just fade away. Like your organs need calories to function. Like your blood, like it needs function, like calories to be able to pump through your system. Your brain needs calories to be able to think and process and make decisions. Your eyes need calories to blink. Like your heart need calories to beat. Like your skin, your nails, your hair, that needs calories to produce more cells, to you know, grow more hair. Your digestive system needs calories. Your talking needs calories. Swallowing needs calories. Like everything that you do needs calories. So just eating 1200 calories a day, like you are not even eating enough to support your freaking organs. So yeah, so fucked up. And you might be listening to this and be like, but Ellen, I eat 1200 calories and I can't even lose weight. Either your metabolism has either significantly decreased, and because you have been dieting for so long and you might be in a, more of a state of survival mode, so it has shut off all those non-essential mechanisms like producing skin, producing cells, like building your muscle, like your gut function, like your hormones. It might have really reduced those because it's really trying to save all the calories that it needs to stay alive. So that might be a reason. But then the other reason, which is probably that you're not tracking accurately. Because 1200 calories, like that is like for a toddler. No grown woman should ever eat 1200 calories. Like that is just, it makes me so angry. But what I also want to say with the whole calorie saga is people who will, first of all, really like encourage you to be 100% perfect every single day, big red flag. Like this is literally just encouraging your all or nothing mindset, which you probably already have, but it's encouraging that even more. It's like literally putting petrol on the fire that you already have. So, like, and people who encourage not having days off tracking, like this literally used to be me. Like my nutrition coach, she was like, if you have a day of tracking, you don't want it bad enough. If you don't want to, like I was going to a festival, so if you don't pre-log all your alcohol, then you don't want it bad enough. Like, how bad do you want it? Like, do you want to change? Do you want to lose weight? Like, no, that's fucked. I just came up with another really good one. But I want to say, let's finish with the calorie ones first. And then, yeah, the last one with calories is, like, people who only, like, when they reverse diet you or when they drop your calories and they change, like, 20 or 50 calories, like, that's going to do fuck all. Like, that's probably how different... Like, if you walk, like, a few steps more one Monday compared to Tuesday, that is probably those 20 or 50 calories. Like, that's going to do fuck all difference. Like, when I was coaching nutrition, I used to give them one number, so let's say 1,800. And then I used to be like, okay, well, you can be 200 calories on over, you can be 200 calories under. It's really not going to matter because that window of calorie, how many calories you burn in a day, it's going to be very, very different every single day. No day is going to be exactly the same. Like, unless you're in a lab and you do the same fucking thing every single day. So, okay, the absolute last point that I wanted to cover was that they encourage you to keep lowering your weight loss target. This is another thing that happened to me. Like, I remember I signed up and I had as a goal to lose... I'm not even going to say a number because I don't want to trigger anyone. I had as a goal to hit a certain number, and that'd been my goal weight for ages. When I finally hit that weight, I was like, I'm not happy here. I want to keep losing weight because I needed that dopamine. So we don't actually release the most amount of dopamine when we reach that goal weight, or when we do the marathon or do the competition or whatever it is. We release the most amount of dopamine on the pursuit of that goal. And this is why you achieve your goals and then you feel empty, because it wasn't as big of a dopamine hit as you thought it was going to be. So coaches who encourage you to keep losing weight, even though you are at a healthy weight. So for me, like I was very, very, like I was fucking lean. I was probably like 5 or 6 kilos lighter than I am now. All muscle basically. And I was like, I want to drop down to like 2 kilos lower. And she was just like, perfect. Let's just reduce your calories even more. And like looking back now, I'm like, what the fuck? Like she should have just told me that, or she should have first of all questioned, why do you want to lose more weight? But instead she was like, yes, like with your willpower and hard work ethic, you can definitely get to this number. Like no problem at all. Like all that they wanted for their Instagram was just like some really good before and after photos of me, like where I was super, super lean. God, I am really riled up right now. I need to go and have a... freaking tea and lay down and like just zen. But as you can see, this is a very, 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 very important thing and something I'm really passionate about, and something, you know, in my all my workshops I always cover red flags, because unfortunately people just don't know about them, and so many people could be helped if they just picked up on the red flags early. Like if my coach, nutrition coach, could have picked up my red flags, I could have been recovered for years now. But she just encouraged it. And yeah, sure, it was my fault too, because I could have just picked up, you know, and said I'm leaving, but I didn't do that. And as a coach, you have a lot of responsibility for your clients, and sometimes your clients are not going to see their red flags. They also might not want to hear it, but it is your responsibility to address it. And it's also your responsibility as a client to choose a coach who is healthy. Like, choose a coach who's living a life that you want to live and has an energy that you want to have. So guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to leave it with you guys, and please make sure to subscribe, to share it on your stories, and tag me so I can say thank you. Right? Thank you so much, and I see you next week. Bye.